good evening. I was about to say good afternoon, but oh my gosh, what a day I've had today, especially in the middle of tax season. But hello, everyone. Good evening. This is Tezra. I am a tax expert, and welcome to my show, Tez Talks Taxes. I cannot say that three times fast because I think it is a tongue twister. But welcome and thank you for listening in. This is show number 4, and I have a special guest, and her name is Beth Brown. And I would like to take a moment to introduce Beth, and we're going to talk more about who she is and everything. But first, I would like for her to say hi, and let's get the show started. Okay, let me see. There must be some technical difficulties right now because I don't think that's the line.
And his own story was as curious as his narrative. The tale of his life is the tale of a writer of incredible vision, an astute analyst and pundit, a lyricist compassionate and careless, a reckless hedonist, and disaffected malcontent.
I spit that wonder rhymers, me and my conglomerates shall remain anonymous, caught up in the finest. Get that type of media coverage Obama get. Spit that Kurt Vonnegut, that blow your brain, Kurt Cobain, that Nirvana shit. Who gon' bring the game back? Who gon' spit that rainbow on the train tracks? That gold wolf, that five-finger ring rap, running with my same pack. You can find the Christ where the lepers in the lanes at. Life is like a dice game. One roll can land you in jail or cut your cake, blowing kisses in the rice rain. Nice whip, nice chain, the closet is stalls. Stenches like slave blood and private and tall. Yeah, they built my city on top of a grave. Niggas die, niggas get high and watch the parade. Back in the early 90s, where they at, get the gat was a popular phrase. Valley animals and rugby was a popular craze. This the vivid memoirs of an obnoxious slave. I paved ways like Nat and Harriet. I blast on Judas Iscariot and fell off in the chariot. I'm sitting pretty, spitting flames, gripping grains. Ain't a damn thing changed.
How did you do it?
My young lad, do you ask a dolphin how it swims?
No.
Or an eagle how it flies?
No.
That's right, you don't. Because that's what they were made to do.
You are about to bear witness, my friend, to one of the greatest technological advances in modern history. Behold, a confectionary behemoth.
Candyman, spit me a dream. Blow a chunk of the levee out and spit me a stream. Knock a man house down and fill a casino. A $2,000 government check from Fiend. I swam down creek and came up clean with a new lease on life like Andy Dufresne. It's the most poetical, Nat King unforgettable, Clarence 13 XLR's Rhapsody from Bellevue. I'm splitting atoms, spitting flames, bringing change. Things will never be the same. I got the rap game, singing that last like Etta James. Lanes get their plane shot down like John McCain. It's a dream, it's a dream. The flow's elegant like Miss Coretta Scott King. A lot of kings sing deaf and turn queen. Crack they 24-inch rims in the ravine. Respect the architect, never test the Elohim. Good night, this is JLX Live from New Orleans. New Orleans.
My journey has brought me to an understanding of the divine forces with which we have all been bestowed. It was in this search that I came upon a revelation which has called me to guide millions of people towards their righteous destiny.
We're gonna do a song. We're gonna do a song that you never heard before.
Who's going to hit us now?
We're strong.
I spit that orchestral Medina born exceptional, extra extraterrestrial from out the ghetto vestibule. Put your yard up for knowledge like the lessons do. So fly fiends can get high off the residue. So real, I'm surreal, a pure deal. Dante Flacco, flow handsome, guapo. The sun, moon, and stars, grits in the gospel. School of knock harder and the teachings of apostles. Pistols, prayer means player balls, car shows, festivals, funerals, the grotesque and beautiful. Phenomena is normal, the needed hardly happens. Fresh V's at high speed, zooming backwards, fast.
The world famous Mr. Magic Rap Attack presents a world premiere.
You can't make them believe it though. Curtains, the opening scene, symbolic or remarkable, the article dream. Wake up and bear witness to what you never seen. Reach out and feel what he said to never be. Me and J-A-Y-E, electronic motherboard, shut them off, they suck us off.
J-45, homie.
welcome back, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but seems like we have everything running, and we have Beth Brown on the line. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Tezra. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. Yeah.
That's good. So I want to have my viewers first find out more about you, who you are, where you're from.
Sure. So my name is Beth Brown, and I am the owner of Babs Photography, LLC, and I am an urban portrait photographer and fashion photographer. I also do behind-the-scenes stills for film, sometimes theater, and I'm also the founder of the Big Black Book NYC, which is a small business directory that's on social media, and I founded that in August underneath my photography business.
Awesome. And did you say where you're from, or did I miss that part? I can't
remember. Yes. So right now I live in Brooklyn, but I'm originally from upstate New York. I'm from a small town called Sydney. It's spelled with an I, not a Y.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yes.
I never heard of it. Okay.
Yes, so it's very small.
What made you move to Brooklyn? Was it college or just being a photographer, you wanted more scenery or something of that sort?
So after I graduated high school, I actually went to college in Rochester, New York, and then I lived there for a few years, actually 7 years, and then I woke up one day and decided to move to Brooklyn. And
great decision.
that was that. Here I am 11 years later. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Everyone loves Brooklyn, and it's great for photography. There's so much to capture, you know, just different things and different buildings and structures and people. There's just so much, you know. It's a beautiful place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I actually have, you know, utilized your services, especially with the Big Black Book. And, you know,
yes.
First off, as an entrepreneur, you're very down to earth. But we met when we did a food drive.
Yes,
on Thanksgiving Day.
One of the most fun things ever.
Even though it was like 10 degrees outside, you know, it was amazing. I had so much fun.
It was. I couldn't stop laughing. We were making sandwiches in the living room on tables.
It was
the craziest. It was so much fun.
We made so much food. Yes, and we made so much food. I couldn't believe that our small group made that much food for people. And even though it was like, you know, it was just like blistering cold outside,
yeah.
I didn't really care about the weather, which was also just pretty amazing.
I remember taking my boots off and sitting on my feet afterwards. It was so numb from the cold.
But in the moment,
it wasn't even on my mind when we were on the street.
Yeah,
it was a really great time.
You know, and I think that that's also part of being an entrepreneur. Sometimes we do what we have to do, even when the conditions may not be ideal or when
Absolutely.
It's like really, really cold outside. Yeah.
Yep.
Which brings me to my next question for you. As far as success, you know, what are some of the things that you have accomplished so far with your businesses or just one of the things, anything that you want to talk about that you want people to know?
Well, I feel that every success, just like with the little story that we were just talking about, how we met doing the Valentine's Day food reach out to homeless people. So just like that was a struggle and it was a fight, but it was so rewarding at the end. That's basically how my business has been. It has been a struggle. I will say that everything that I have has been a fight that I've gotten through prayer. And that's really how I've made it, because I'm not trained. You know, I didn't go to school for photography. So everything that I've learned has been just by me having God send people into my life to mentor me, but also the clients. You know, when I moved to New York City 11 years ago, and I knew no one, literally no
wow.
one. There was not one person in New York that I knew. I didn't have a network. I had nothing.
Wow, that's That's insane. I mean, that's just, well, you know, even when they move into another country, sometimes they know absolutely no one, maybe just one family member or something, you know, so that speaks a lot for itself right there. But go ahead, continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, it's fine. I mean, you're right. It's, you know, a lot of people do this. I just move cities. People move entire countries, which is really amazing. But so everything that I have accomplished has come with a struggle. And that is it. Entrepreneurship is not for the weak or the faint of heart.
Right.
There was, I guess, a success. So I'll speak to this because this is like a little story. I, a few years ago, had entered a competition through the National Association of Women Business Owners. And so I was making a video, and basically the video concept was one person is never insignificant. Everyone is significant. That one person can bring you an entire world of other people. And just making that video to submit for that competition, it was not easy. I was with my mom, and she and I went on this dirt road near where I grew up, and we took a bunch of takes, and we drove home, and nothing was right. The sound wasn't right. Nothing was right. The camera was shaky.
I was not happy.
And you can ask her. I was grumpy. It was not a good look for me. And so we had to go back, and we made like a makeshift tripod on a dirt road with boxes.
Yes.
Setting the camera. I wanted to quit. I was like, I can't do this. I mean, like, what am I doing? Like, who am I to like make this video for this competition? And there were cars. We'd have to move to the side of the road with these boxes, and there would be dust. But I didn't quit, and I persevered. And lo and behold, I was, there were five finalists, there were five winners for it, and I was one of the five. And
oh my gosh.
Really, that has been like pretty much my life lesson is like when things are going crazy and it looks like I should quit right about now. Like, don't quit. It's not a good time to quit. It means that like there's something coming your way that's going to be, you know, a really big honor or blessing, or it's just going to be really good. So, yeah.
And that's almost like the definition of your blood, sweat, and tears. When people say that they put their all into something, you know, that's what you did. You went out and you put everything that you had into it, and you gave it a shot. You weren't afraid to try it, even though you may have second-guessed yourself at that moment or questioned whether you should be doing it or not, but you still didn't give up. So that's important.
Right.
Yeah, and I like how you said that. I wanted to, but I didn't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, even in my industry, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I remember when I first started, and I've had plenty of moments, you know. So I agree with you. You know, entrepreneurship is not for people who can't deal with certain levels of stress or can't deal with certain types of things where you feel you might fail, but you just keep pushing and then you come out on top just the same way that you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but let me ask you this, what made you go into photography?
Okay. Well, I always liked it. So going back to my parents again. So when I was little, my dad had magazine subscriptions to National Geographic and National Geographic Traveler magazines, and I used to like reading them, and I just loved the photos. So it was just something I was always mesmerized, and I was interested in it. And then my dad was a really good amateur photographer, and he had an actual real camera. It was a film camera, and this is like a long time ago, so I always admired it. And one year for Christmas, his aunt gave me a point-and-shoot camera. And I remember just, like, going around that Christmas afterwards with no film or anything in it and just, like, taking pictures. So, like, it was in me from a kid. But I pretty much forgot about it. And then I, you know, grew up, so to speak, and I went to college, and then I started work because I'm also a teacher.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Yeah, little known fact about me, I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
So So, yeah, a friend of mine from college was working, and she said, hey, Beth, you know, there's this wedding photographer that I work with. And I was like, oh, really? I've always wanted to be a photographer. And she's like, you have? I was like, yeah. So I said, ask him if he needs an assistant. And so she did, and he did need an assistant. And so weddings are not my passion, and I'm okay if I don't do them. But I did learn on that day that that really is my passion. So by the end of assisting him on the first day, that was it. I was really definitely hooked. And I was like, I can't believe I forgot what I was so interested in as a child. And it took me like years later to like come back to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And, you know, I find even for myself that, you know, things that I do now are just from things that I loved as a child or that my parents sparked my interest in. And
cool.
I think family is very important when it comes to business. What are your thoughts on that as far as, like, you know, family and business? And I know it can be hard to juggle the two, or sometimes, like, getting into mm-hmm. business with family might be challenging, not in a bad way, but, you know, people have different visions sometimes.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about family and business? Just in
I
a
mean,
general
it's
sense.
It's important. Because sometimes when you're not comfortable advocating for yourself, you have another member of your family who will, you know, go out and get that for you. So I had, oh my gosh, I can't remember how many years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I did a little project called City Meets Country where I explored the streets of New York City with my camera and did a lot of street photography. And then I also drove around where I grew up in the countryside. And I drove around with my mom, actually. And she was like, you should take photos of that. You should take photos of that. But I put it together into like a little exhibit and as well as a book, and it was called City Meets Country. So it was kind of like saying, well, the city and country are different, but there are similarities too. And I didn't have the guts to take that to anyone. And it was my mom who, she got me exhibits in the public library in my hometown and in different art galleries. I would have not had the guts to do that.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
is really important. It's very key, I think. You need that support and that encouragement and that push. And
yeah,
when you're,
I
like, wrong and
you.
Doing something off, they'll tell you to. Well,
and you
at
have,
least my family does.
Yeah, exactly. Both family members, right? We definitely need that trust there. Whenever you have someone who's giving you a business advice, and a lot of times with family, that trust has just been built, you know, because they're a parent
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like you mentioned, aunt or uncle or even a brother or sister. They're someone that you grew up with. So when they say something, you kind of, you know, it's not like you say, okay, you know what, I don't really trust your, you know, your thoughts on this or your opinion on this. Is more welcoming when it's coming from family because you've known them for a long time, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And you know they have your best interest. You know, they
right,
don't want
right.
to see you do something that's not a good look for you. They want you
right.
to be successful. Yeah.
And hopefully they'll tell you, hey, you got to change up, or you got to do something here or do something there. Because I think that's one of the most important things in business, is to know when you're wrong or when you make a mistake, and to be able to change it or adjust.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be humbling
yeah.
for sure. You don't always hear what you want to hear, but yes.
Yeah, very much so. So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I don't know if you went there all the way, so I'll just ask the question anyway. What's a challenge or some challenges that people in your industry face?
Well, I think the two biggest ones, and I'm going to like briefly mention one and then I'll come back to it maybe later on in our chat.
No problem.
So just for a professional, just lighting, camera, lenses, tripod, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So it's expensive. And if you think, oh, I need this and I need that, and you just think about everything, you know, that you could possibly need or want. It can be overwhelming, but it doesn't need to be. So there are ways definitely around that challenge of the cost of equipment, but it is a challenge.
Right. I can only imagine. I'm not a photographer, and I have, you know, to be honest, like, I've just been using my camera phone for everything, but I do notice, like, sometimes the poor quality that camera phones give compared to, you know, more expensive cameras that are just more sophisticated and have, you know, I don't know what it's called, if it's called specs or whatever the case may be.
But like the grain in the photo?
Oh, yeah. You know, and sometimes I take a picture and I'm like, oh, you know, let me try the flash. But then
no.
It's just not. Yeah. The flash doesn't fix the problem with the camera.
No, it doesn't. It makes it worse a lot of times.
Yeah. You know, I've seen, like, online a lot of times people would say something like, you know, if you don't have the equipment, just get started, or just pick up your camera phone and do it anyway. And then as you get money, you know, add on. But let me hear some of the advice you would have for people who may not have the equipment or may not have anything. They're starting from scratch and they want to get into the industry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing you could do, you could really just start with your phone just to practice composition and just taking photos and trying different angles. I wouldn't recommend doing someone's wedding on your cell phone, but you can definitely use that. Yeah.
Don't be a wedding
awkward
photographer. That's like
wedding
being
on
a wedding
budget
singer. Yeah, so, it's almost like being a wedding singer with like a karaoke machine. It's like there are certain things you probably wouldn't want to do.
Yeah, you just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it is a start to just, you know, figure out just angles and composition and just, you know, try to find an eye or a rhythm or a style. But one thing you can do is rent equipment. And I think people don't always think about that. Even before purchasing like a camera, because that's an investment, you can rent. You can go in on a weekend or on a Thursday, rent a camera and a lens, and then take it back on Monday. And you can experiment.
Or?
No, it depends. You can do it for probably around $50 or $100.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
I've rented it. I've never rented a camera because I've always known what I wanted in terms of a camera. But lenses I've rented before. Yeah,
okay.
And you can get for like $50 to $100. I mean, I wouldn't recommend like renting continuously because then you're going to eventually, you know, rent so much you pay for a lens. But it's a way to find out what you like, what works for you. It's a way to experiment without, like, going in and just spending $4,000 and then having buyer's remorse. Like, oh, I wish I had gotten that lens instead of this lens, you know? So that's one thing.
I never knew how expensive a lens was until maybe about a couple of years ago. When I found out how expensive they are, and I'm like,
yeah,
wow, this little thing that, you know, can probably easily scratch like my glasses, you know, they're so expensive,
mm-hmm.
but they do so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot.
So that's really good advice. Oh, go ahead.
So
I'm
that's
listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Nope, you're good.
I was going to give another tip.
We're just both talking. It's okay.
It's hard to see you. You know, like I can't.
I know.
See you. We're on the phone, and there's like no body language. I can't read.
I know. But I do that sometimes anyway because I think I talk fast, so I'm like boom, ready to go, and I didn't give that person a chance to finish their sentence. So it's all
yeah.
Good.
Sorry, my apologies.
No, it's fine.
So another thing you can do is you can buy used equipment. So you could buy you know, you can go into the camera store. I like going to a camera store, not on Amazon, for at least lenses and cameras. Tripods, lighting, you can, you know, reflectors you can get on Amazon. I like being able to see the lenses and the camera in the store. But you can go into the store and you can purchase used equipment, and so that saves a little bit of cost. And then another thing, I was actually, I met with a guy last week and I was giving him some tips for photography. And one of the things that I did before, I recently bought a new camera at the end of October of 2017. But prior to that, I had my previous camera for like 5 or 6 years. And the way that I was able to like increase the image quality was by replacing the lenses. So, So instead of like you, so you can get away with, I had a 50D before my current camera and it was a great camera and I was able to just upgrade the lenses. So I invested, and it was an investment, but I invested in like a 100 millimeter macro lens. And so you can invest in the lenses, and that will, you know, dramatically improve your image quality and give you a professional look. And then you don't have to like go in and buy a lens and a camera. And then, you know, $5,000 later, you're just like, what did I just do? So you can, you know, build it gradually. And then once you get everything and your funds together, then you can, you know, purchase an upgrade for your camera, but you can do it by just, you know, purchasing the lenses too, making sure the lens quality is good. That's really, really the most important thing is having a good lens.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. I mean, like I said, when it comes to this type of thing, I have zero knowledge of it. So it's good to give that type of advice for people. I don't recommend anyone go into an industry that they have zero knowledge of, like myself in this. But, you know, it's good to give that type of feedback to people who don't really know how much a lens can affect, you know, your picture.
Yeah, it's really everything. Well, maybe not everything, but it's really key. Yeah.
Yeah. I can agree with you definitely on that. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some of your upcoming projects and, you know, maybe a couple of more things before we, you know, we end the interview.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Awesome.
All right.
Thoughts you got me doing things I'll never do. If you ain't been, I'm telling you,
I'm strong.
Got me doing things I'll never do. If you ain't been, I'm telling you,
I'm telling you,
I'll grow.
I'll
grow.
Got me doing
everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with my special guest, and you've missed a lot if you're just now tuning in. But I do want to first mention one of our sponsors. This is ME Productions. Once again, the sponsor is ME Productions. So you can get your video project done for you can get your video project started for under $200. Just email heyme.tv at gmail.com and use the code TEZTAXESNYNP in the subject line, and you'll get an additional 50% off their future projects or your future projects. Excuse me on that one. So I would love to bring it back to Beth Brown. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Tezra.
So that song, I'm Sprung, I love it, and it's crazy. I was just thinking about karaoke. I went to my friend's family reunion, and they were having a karaoke contest, and anyone that knows me knows I can't sing. So my best friend is like, no, Tez, don't jump in. Don't join the contest. I said, no, I'm doing it. And I got up, and I did that song, and it was horrible. It was really, really bad because I cannot sing. But that song makes me laugh every time I listen to it. It's just
it's a great song. I was dancing around to it while I was, on break. Yeah, it was great. It was a good pick.
Yeah. See, that's another industry where I got to kind of, like, stay in my lane and not get into it because, you know, I can't sing at all.
But you had fun.
That's very true. And it's a memorable moment. She'll never forget it.
Yes.
And neither will her family. But I, when I was maybe, like, 10 or 12, my mom took me and my brothers to this art museum in Newark for a photography class. And I don't even remember like the length of time. It was I was just extremely bored because I cannot draw for the life of me. I can't, like, stick figures. If you want me to draw a person, I'm going to give you a stick figure, or their arm is going to be uneven and their leg is just going to be straight with the dot in the middle for the kneecap. I'm not an artist. I can't draw anything, so I don't even want to try. But my mom took me to that class to help me learn, and I understood the concepts more behind it, but I still didn't learn how to draw. That kind of brings me to my question for you, is feel like photography and art is more of a natural thing, or do you feel that it's more something that people can learn in school?
I feel it's a combination of both. I mean, you can learn anything. You learn how to draw a stick figure with a dot for a kneecap. It's possible. You can learn anything. But it's about, I think, where your heart is. So if you're not really interested, then there's going to be only, so far that you go with it. And how much you love something is going to be reflected in your art. Really, your art is, you're putting yourself into it. When I do a photo shoot, that's, I'm getting the image from the client, but I put so much out into them to try to bring out whatever look they're going for, and that has to come from, like, inside you, like, from your heart, from your soul. It comes from you, and you can't really learn that. Someone said something to me. I can't even remember exactly what it was that they said, and it just popped out of my mouth, and I was like, yeah, well, I was born to take photos. And then after I said it, I was like, where did that come from? I don't know where that came from. Yeah, I was born for this. There is, like, that natural. But even with that natural, you have to study it and you have to learn it. And, there's this photographer that I met a couple years ago. His name's Ronnie, and I love him. I admire him so much. And he's always like, you have to study. And then he's like, hey, he gives me books. I just saw him a couple weeks ago, and he gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm like sitting next to him, like 6 books. And I'm going to look
to carry those books to wherever you need to take them.
They were heavy. He gave them to me. I parked my car like 5 blocks from my apartment. I said, what am I thinking? It was like a workout from the gym. But anyway.
Yeah.
He gave me these books, and basically he just wants me to just, you know, expose myself to other things and to see how other photographers shoot. So, you know, you do have to study, and I'm not trying to be like anyone else. I am me, and those photographers are them, but you can learn. So there's always learning that you have to do. You always have to study and know your craft. I need to do more of that myself. So, but there's a lot of natural, you know.
You know, I think in the industry, there's always, like, just refreshing of certain things or, like, continuing education, so to speak. You know, even especially, I don't want to say especially or even in, I can just say in my industry, we are required to do that in order to stay licensed. And laws change so much that, if you don't do it, you're just behind on the times and thinking your industry, the things that probably changed so much for you guys would be technology. You know, years ago, you go to a nightclub, and I mean, even some clubs are still doing this, but I don't know why, but you go to a club and people are printing out your picture and trying to sell it to you. And I'm like, what am I going to do with that? Take a picture of it and then post it on Instagram? Like, I don't hang, you know, I'm not hanging it up on my wall. I don't have a photo album. And if the one I do have is of my daughter, you know. So, you know, things change over time. And I think that that's probably the thing about your industry the most is keeping up with technology.
Yeah, partly technology and partly trends.
Oh, true.
Yeah, there's definitely trends, too.
Yeah.
But I don't really necessarily follow the trends always. But, yeah, there are trends that come and go. Like Polaroid photos, for example. You know, they were big in the 70s, I think, originally, or 80s, right, early 80s. And then they've kind of made a comeback. And they are really cool. I love them. But,
And
there's, like,
so
trends
good.
That go through.
I do have a couple of Polaroid pictures on my refrigerator of my dad when he was younger than what I am right now, which is crazy, you know, because every time I look at that picture, I'm like, wow, my dad was 30 in that picture, you know, and I'm over 30. So it stays on my refrigerator, but Polaroids are awesome.
Yeah,
and
they're really cool.
Seems like they last forever until they, like, if you separate them, that's when, of course, they start to, like, you can't see the picture any longer, but I used to do that to a few of them, separate them, as is a little science experiment to see what happens.
What happens if I dissect my Polaroid?
Yeah, let me just cut it down the middle, see what's in it. But
true, it was like, I've never done that. What is in it?
You know, it's like black on the inside. It's weird. It might be, I haven't done it in a long time, but it's like some type of paper would you consider that to be? I think if you touch it, you get some type of ink on your hand, but I remember the inside of it being black.
Oh, cool.
You know, where the picture was. Yeah, it was really strange.
I'm going to dissect one of these days now. Now I'm curious.
Yeah, now that I'm older and I won't get in trouble for it, I can do it, but it's not worth getting in trouble over. You know, like my parents, they weren't in the spanking type, so they never spanked me, but oh my gosh, my mom would sit me down and just lecture me for hours. I'm like, how is she still going on? You know, so some of these things that I wasn't doing wasn't worth the lecture.
Right, yes.
Yeah, because now I don't even remember what was on the inside. I think it was black, just like some type of black chalk type of paper. It was weird.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, I do want to find out about your upcoming projects because I need to say, and I probably mentioned this in the beginning, that I was part of one of your projects, and I trusted your vision. And the end result, I truly loved, and I got so much positive feedback. I even used that photo for a lot of my marketing stuff. I mean, it's just
awesome.
So much positive feedback. Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, your photo, when people click the link to listen to the show, that's your photo. I don't know if you saw it.
But I don't think I took that one. Did I take that one, or did Sean take that one? Sean took it, but
you picked it out.
Yeah.
Sean took it, but you picked it out, because I remember him saying, well, she's going to have to pick out the one that she wants to use. And I said, okay. And then I remember you saying that to me, like, this is the one I like. And I'm like, oh, I love it.
Yes, but Sean took that. For those of you who don't know, they're like, who's Sean? So, so the project that we're speaking about is a project I launched in August, this past August 2017. And it's for small business owners in the New York City area. It's both profit, nonprofit, and by New York City area, I mean like New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, as well as the city. And so basically, it's the event that Tezra attended is a small business headshot event. So you come as an entrepreneur, you have your headshot taken by a professional photographer. It would be either me or another professional photographer that I partner with named Sean Bennett of SB Imagine. And so that headshot that is taken gets put in a small business directory on Instagram, along with each entrepreneur's business bio. So it tells like about the business, it tells how to contact the business owner, even has like a word of wisdom, you know, advice that the business owner has for other entrepreneurs. And then that headshot is also something that Sean and I send to the entrepreneurs, and they can use for their own purposes, like you're using for your purposes.
And
the goal for it, there's several goals. The directory is open to everyone, but it is my target market for the directory is people of color, because I'm really looking through media. I'm a photographer, and I see how things are portrayed in media, and I don't always like that. Often I don't like that. And so as a photographer, I can create my own media, so I'm looking to create and break stereotypes and create images of like power and unity and just showing people in different ways. So the directory has you're an accountant, I have DJs, I have massage therapists. There's just like a wide variety of different professions related, and even for like young children who are growing up, and they may say, oh, I can't be a doctor, or I can't be a lawyer, I can't be this, because I don't see people who look like me doing these things. But this directory is like a visual representation of all these different things, like coaching, so many different areas professionally that people are excelling in. And so it's also, you know, I want it to kind of inspire youth as well. Like, oh, yeah, I could grow up and I could be an entrepreneur and I could do this or I could do that. And it's a way to get entrepreneurs as well to talk. So I've had people ask me, how can I be in the directory? And to be in the directory, you have to come to an event. So I want the people in the community, like I really want there to be power. I want the people in the community to know each other and build their businesses together. Because we all can, you know, I'm a photographer. Who would think I would be on a tax show?
Right.
TED Talk taxes.
Can you say it? Try it.
TED
I'm ready.
Talk taxes.
Try it faster.
Tez Talks Texas. I'm doing my best for you.
Better than
but I
would
do. Never.
Tez Talks Texas. I can't. It comes out like
yes.
Texas. Tez Talks Texas. That's what I sound like when I try to say it fast.
It's so fun to say though.
It's a tongue twister.
Great,
yeah, yeah.
It's a great.
People won't forget.
It's a great
they won't forget. They'll
time.
Never forget that.
No, they won't.
Yeah. But I think
but who would think like a photographer
great.
And a tax accountant would work together, you know? And
oh,
so
yeah.
That's like the point. You know, like
right.
All these people can come together and really build together, and it, like if we can build together and keep, you know, the money in the community and just build the communities, like what can't we do?
Right,
you know,
right.
So.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing that a lot of people need to understand is that when you're an entrepreneur, you should have a professional headshot, and it shouldn't be a headshot with a sheet behind you and you can see your shadow and poor lighting. You know, it should be professionally done, and also you should go and get some type of education on certain topics, because that's another thing about
mm-hmm.
your workshop that I find to be great. Like, you have topics there that people need to hear and learn something about, because
mm-hmm.
that knowledge is very important to have when you decide, I'm going to go into business for myself. You're now taking on that responsibility of being a business owner, and the IRS doesn't care if you say, I didn't know. They expect that
right.
when you go into business, you know. So these topics that you have are important, and the headshots that you're providing for people are very important, because I think that unfortunately, a lot of times business owners are judged by the quality of the product that they're putting out there
mm-hmm.
and the lack of knowledge of certain things that are missing. So you're connecting the dots with those, and it's really important for people to know and understand that.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Like, you
yes.
have to invest in your business.
Oh, yeah.
To a point,
absolutely.
You know, you have to. Yes.
Yeah, you definitely do, especially if you wanted to succeed. Now,
yeah.
So the upcoming project that you have, that's the one that's coming up next. We are doing another photo shoot, or do you have something
yes.
else? Okay.
So April 28th, it's a Saturday. It's going to be in Brooklyn, 495 Flatbush Avenue. I know that address.
I'm writing that down.
Like my own home address almost.
I'm going to try to be there.
Oh, yay.
I'm hoping.
Yay.
You know, it's right after tax season, and it's my birthday week, I believe. My birthday is April 20th. So.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. If I'm not on an island somewhere, I'll be there at your place getting another headshot.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And the island also sounds nice, too.
I know. I know.
So, yes, it's going to be April 28th from 10 a.m. till noon, and that's going to be the headshot, business bio, the organic networking portion. And then from 12:15 to 1 is going to be information on trademarking. So
right.
It's going to be like a little mini workshop on trademarking so people can get information. I messed my trademarking up thinking I could do it myself. I don't recommend anyone do that. Get a lawyer.
Honestly, I don't recommend people doing it either, because if you fill the paperwork, you know, sometimes these people think it's really easy, but if you fill something out wrong or something that they don't classify what you're trying to trademark
mm-hmm.
as, it's rejected. And that dollar amount that you paid for the application is non-refundable. You're not going to get it back. So,
nope.
Yes,
you won't get it back, and you're going to pay more to fix it. It's not
right.
It's not a good investment.
It's almost
so,
like taxes. Like, if you do it wrong the first time, oh, my God. Like, you just created an avalanche of problems.
I
but, yeah.
can imagine. Yes.
Yep. So that's awesome. I can't wait for, you know, April 28th. And if I can't make it, I still can't wait to see the results of it. I know it's going to be awesome. And it's always fun, you know, to be around you and just to, you know, talk to you. So I know people are just going to have a great time.
Yeah, everyone has had a really good experience so far who's come. So everyone, everyone who's come is always interested in meeting other people and just learning from each other. And, yeah, it's always fun.
Well,
so you can get all the information. I should say how people can get the information, right?
Yes.
So that they can come.
I was about to ask you that. And also put your social media out there for everybody as well so they can contact you.
Sure. So for the Small Business Directory, and even if you're not an entrepreneur and you're listening, you should still follow it because think of it as the Yellow Pages, only with photos and personalized bios. So it's better than the Yellow Pages. But you go to Instagram and you're going to type in the Big Black Book NYC. And then that will pop up, the Instagram page, and you can, if you're an entrepreneur, get information for the next event. There's an early bird special through April 20th, but tickets are already selling, so... So you can get all the information for the next event. And if you are not an entrepreneur, but you go to Instagram to the Big Black Book NYC, you can get your product and service name. You can find what you need. You know, if it's like a paint party that you're trying to put together for your friends, or you just want a massage, or you, whatever you need, events.
Going to be in there.
I have a couple authors. Yeah, so there's a variety of products and services, and it's going to be building, so there's going to be more as time goes on to, you know, more businesses.
So. That's so amazing. I'm so happy for you and so proud of you and your projects, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and not only sharing your experience, but your wisdom and your knowledge and helping people. And also holding this workshop that's going to just help more people, you know, that's commendable. And thank you so much, Beth.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor. I'm really humbled. Thank you so, so much. And you're awesome. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You're so easy to talk to.
Am I?
So,
that's good.
Thank you for that.
Good to hear. You're welcome. Thank you. And, you know, hopefully, again, like, you come back and revisit the show again, you know. So I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Have a great evening. Thank you so much.
You too. Take care.
Thanks.
And we are going – you're welcome. And we're going to take a quick music break. And when I come back, I'm going to give you guys an awesome tax tip, and then we're going to wrap up the show.
I want to get your lawyer. I really want to tell you.
In my eyes, swinging them hips when you pass. I'm visualizing my name tattooed on that ass, baby. Jump on this Harley, let's go smoke some of that Bob Marley. Sip some Bacardi, then go pull up at the after party. I think we make a perfect couple, but you think I'm trouble. Maybe that's the reason you gave me the wrong number. She got me feeling like maybe she the wrong woman. Think I'ma be chasing the chicken head, you own something. Your toes painted, head fixed all the time, and your Gucci boots the same color as mine. If you read between the lines, you can see that I want you. I bet you how you doing what you said that you won't do. Make a decision shorty, good things don't last long. Your girlfriend keeps showing me that thong. Before I head home, I'ma stop at your house and blow the horn. If you come outside, you know it's on. I'll let you boy.
Wonder why I don't call her. Maybe because I'm dizzy and she needs someone to spoil her. It gets annoying from time to time, I gotta ignore her. In order to let her know that we friends and nothing more. She loves it when I'm in town, hate it when I'm not around. I get her and wear it down, next door neighbors hear the sound. Pitches hitting the ground, listen up to hold her down. I'm sticking and moving, cruising after the third round. Just lay back, baby, and let me drive you crazy. I can make a 40-year-old feel like a young lady. I admit I fell in love with a frame. And to make her feel special, I let her call me by my government name. Her panties wet over same, fell in love with my chain. I wonder if I wasn't an entertainer, would she remain? Surrounding me, hounding me, trying to be my homie. I'm not your boyfriend, I'm your homie.
Watching her lick her lips, or watching her walk, she hypnotized me with her hips, man. I sweet talk her if she like, cause all she really want is a nigga to treat her right, right. Look, I'm legit now, I used to break laws. Now you can reap the benefits of world tours. Big house, big bins, girl, it's yours. Me, coat that down, your shoes, stones with no flaws. You ain't got to look like a model for me to adore you. All you gotta do is love me and be loyal. Don't indulge in my past, fuck what happened before you. But to meet some honeys, don't hate you, they never saw you. Come here, let me touch on you, I let you touch on me. Put my tongue on you, you put your tongue on me. Let me ride on you and you can ride on. We can do it all at night, we can have a ball at night.
Give you guys a quick, a lot of people that are listening in. So this is in regards to a 529 plan. There's five parts to this tax tip. So part number one, what is a 529 plan? It's basically a plan that you can use to help yourself save for college education expenses for your child or grandchild or a friend or even for yourself. All right. And this plan offers a federal tax incentive for savings. Part two, the benefit of this plan. Okay, so there's two types of these 529 plans. The first type is a prepayment plan in which payments are guaranteed to cover or partially cover tuition, the college tuition, regardless of whether the tuition increases. And the second part, or I'm sorry, the second type of 529 plan is the savings type plan, which is when the funds that you have available depend on the investment performance. So basically, you're investing into an account, and it's hopefully going to grow off of interest. And at the time that you need the funds, whatever is available would be what you have gained through that investment. All right, so the third thing to know about this 529 plan is that it does not generate a federal tax deduction or tax credit. However, your earnings, which is your interest, are tax deferred. That means you don't pay interest on it until you use it. However, if you're using it for qualified higher education costs, then everything is tax free, including the earnings. All right, so remember that. However, each state is different. I do want to note that if you're a resident in New York, you can deduct contributions to the New York 529 College Savings Program up to $5,000 per taxpayer per year on your New York State income tax return. So you can take a deduction for that on your state return for New York State. All right. But keep in mind, every state is different. So you do want to look into the plan that your particular state is offering. Okay. So now the fourth thing to know is that contributions can only go to a qualified tuition program, even if it's your if it's something that is mimicking one or almost identical to one. If it's not a state or IRS approved plan, then you should not contribute toward it if you're expecting to get these 529 benefits that we are discussing. Okay. So if you're expecting a certain type of benefit of using this 529, you got to make sure you're using the right plan to put that money in. Also, you know, you want to remember that when you're withdrawing these distributions, you want to make sure that you're using them for qualified expenses. If not, you're going to get a 10% penalty. No one loves penalties, okay? So now the fifth tip here is that the type of things or expenses that you can remove money from this account for would be fees, books, supplies, computers, technology, and room and board, big one. Room and board is really a big one because when you're going for, if you're not planning certain things, you might end up getting certain credits at the time that you file your tax return. I think on one of my shows, we talked about the American Opportunity Credit, or we briefly covered it. Room and board is not something that can go toward getting that credit. It's not allowed. So if you're paying room and board and you're looking for some type of tax break, you might want to look into this 529 plan, which will help you out with it. All right. There are conditions under that, such as the student would have to be enrolled at least half time. So you need to really look into these things and plan it out before you go for it. But hopefully this little bit of information will help you out. Next, I do want to mention a couple of more of our sponsors. We have Lit BKNY. Please go check out their website. It's litbkny.com. And if you use the code PREGAMEISLIT at checkout, you'll receive 20% off your purchase. Our other sponsor is iCraveWear. They have a new fax line. This is for T-shirts and hoodies. You check out their website, which is iCraveWear.com, and use the code PREGAME at checkout, then you'll receive 15% off. All right? So please check out our sponsors and use those codes when you're ordering. Now, I would like to close the show by mentioning our upcoming shows for the week. On Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., we have The Real List Radio Show with Tasha Nicole Wright and Alyssa Noriega. Please tune in to these ladies. And on Friday and Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., we have The Pre-Game Radio Show with Brooklyn Black and Hoffa. So please tune in to that as well. I'm going to close with one last song. I'll see you guys next week.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. Too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titter. Shot-Town, what's going on? Yeah, I drink a boost for breakfast, the ensure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just dip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man bizzer. Not to worry, Mr. Ace to the Illos back to wizard.
How do you console my mom?
Or give her life support. Telling her son's on life support. And just imagine how my girl feel. On the plane, scared as hell that a guy looks like Emmett Till. She was with me before the deal, she been trying to be mine. She a Delta, so she been throwing that dynasty sign. No use me trying to be
be lying. I've been trying to be signed, trying to be a millionaire. How I used two lifelines in the same hospital with Biggie Smalls died. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV, and I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here, history in the making, man.
I really apologize to everyone right now if it's unclear at all, man. They got my mouth wired shut for like, I don't know, exactly, say like 6 weeks. You know, yeah, I had reconstructive surgery on my jaw. I looked in the mirror, half of my jaw was in the back of my mouth, man. I couldn't believe it. And I'm still here for y'all right now, man. This is what I got to say right here, though.
Yeah. Turn me up, yeah. What if somebody from the shadow was ill? Got a deal on the hottest rap label around. But he wasn't talking about coke and birds, it was more like spoken word. Except he's really putting it down. And he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in a game. Good tune, bad night, right place, wrong time. In the blink of an eye, his whole life changed. If you could feel how my face felt, you would know how Mace felt. Thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt. I swear to God, drive a 212. I got a lawyer for the case to keep us in my safe. My dogs couldn't tell if I looked like Tom Cruise on Vanilla Sky. It was televised. It's been an accident like Geico. They thought I was burned up like Tracy did Michael. I must got an angel, cause look how death missed his ass. Unbreakable, what you thought they call me, Mr. Glass? Look back on my life like the ghost of Christmas past. Toys R Us where I used to spend that Christmas cash. And I still won't grow up, I'm a grown ass kid. Swear I should be locked up for stupid shit that I did. But I'm a champion, so I turn tragedy to triumph. Make music that's fire, yeah. Sit my soul through the wire.
You know what I'm saying? When the doctor told me I was gonna have to have a plate in my chin, I said, dog, did you realize I'll never make it on a plane now? It's bad enough I got all this jewelry on. You can't be serious, man.